I'm Stacey Mitchell, and you're listening to Something Even Better, a podcast about letting go of old dreams and what's not working so you can make room for something even better, where we explore the many unexpected twists we all go through to find our way to more aligned and meaningful work and lives. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Something Even Better. This is my first interview, very first guest interview of the new podcast, and I am super excited. It's with one of my clients, Katie Rapcook, and she is a burnout coach. You know I love my burnout coaches. It's just like I have a place in my heart for my burnout coaches. Let me have her introduce herself, give her a little background, and then we're going to jump right in.
Hey, everybody. So as Stacey said, my name is Katie. I work as a burnout coach. I'm in the process of building my business right now. And essentially, to give you my elevator pitch, I help ambitious women learn to slow down and simplify their lives so they can minimize overwhelm and feel more at peace. My favorite way to do that is with group coaching. There is so much compassion among the women that I've seen in my group, and I've seen so many of them connect, and it's a really beautiful thing. And my favorite part is to help them realize that they're not alone in their struggles, and to also see all of these women come together to empower one another to make changes, knowing that they have other women who are cheering them on. In my free time, I volunteer at the local animal shelter. Dogs are literally my love language, and I enjoy weight training, hiking with my dog Champ, and yoga. I also really, really, really love chocolate chip cookies.
Me too. Oh, that's so funny. I am definitely a cookie monster. So I love that. And I think everybody that knows me knows that dogs are also my love language. Yes. So I definitely feel we are the same in that way. And I love
very aligned.
Very aligned. I love that, you know, you really focus a lot on group coaching. And especially for burnout, because that was my first group. And I, you know, I of course think it's amazing, but I do 100% agree with you that there's something about being in a group together and just going through the same thing and being like, we actually understand each other. I'm not alone. Oh, it's just, it's magical. So I love that you do that for people.
Thank you.
Well, you know, what's funny is as soon as I decided I was going to do this podcast, I thought to myself, I've got to ask Katie on. Part of it is because we'd be in our coaching sessions. And I sometimes think it gets way more into a conversation than coaching.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm like, yes, yes. We're just sort of brainstorming together. And there's so much that comes up. That's so much deep stuff I would like to bring up here. And I think that's really why I wanted to invite you on. So thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So as you know, this new podcast is all about letting go of old dreams, what's not working, to make room for our something even better. I'd love to know, what did your something even better end up being? And what did you have to let go of in the process of getting there?
Well, I just alluded on it a little bit. My something even better has definitely been the community of women that I've started to create with my group coaching. I launched my first group at the beginning of 2021, and the amount of women that it has touched and the amount of women that have touched me in return really is inspiring to reflect back on and to look at. There have been a lot of twists and turns on my road to get here, but I'm really grateful for each and every one of those twists and turns. In order to get to this point, I have had to let go of the idea that I could fully control how my life would play out. If you would have told me 10 years ago that this is where I would be, there's literally no way I would have believed you.
Yes. I think we all know. I think it's interesting how we all think we have this amount of control over where we end up and exactly what happens to us. And I think really and truly the pandemic showed us more than anything else that we have so little control, which is really hard for, I think, all of us to manage. So that letting go is super important. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's going to come up. And go ahead. It sounds like you were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say it's really funny because generally when we let go of control is when we actually gain more control. And I don't tell people to let go of control because then they'll feel more in control. But when we let go of the belief that everything is going to play out the way that we thought it would, it opens up our lives for so many more opportunities that we never would have expected. And it can be opportunities that become really, really magical.
Yes. Yeah. And I do think that's where the magic is. And
yeah,
anytime, it's so funny you say that, because it's like anytime you try to force something to happen, the more it sort of moves away from you.
Totally.
And when you stop trying to force, it gets closer, but you can't have that be the reason you stop trying to force. It's all so hard.
Yeah. Well, something that I really like to talk to my clients about is, you know, this idea that we're chasing something, we're chasing a goal, we're chasing a dream. And a lot of times it's not about chasing it. It's about slowing down so it can catch up to us. I like to believe that everything that I want in my life wants me to. And maybe it's chasing me. And if I keep running as fast as I can, it's never going to catch up to me. But if I can slow down and take a beat and take a breath, then it has a chance to catch up to me.
That's really beautiful. And I'm like, ooh, that's good. That's really good stuff. Let me scribble it all down.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And I think that so many people, so many of them, you know, the people I work with, people I talk to, they want peace almost more than anything. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get that is by slowing down and just feeling it in the moment. Mm-hmm. But it's so, so hard to remember that on the day to day. It's so hard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And yeah, I think people believe that they can create peace by doing all of these things. Like I can just craft this feeling of peace. And it's almost like it's too easy for people to just say, no, I can be at peace. I think that's what throws people off, is that it's like, it's this easy. Like I can just have it. I just have to choose it instead of chasing it or trying to create it. But it really is that easy. And it's not like you're going to feel at peace all day, every day, but it is easy to take 5 minutes to create peace for yourself and to be in peace for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that idea of like, you can't necessarily like, it's the same thing. You can't force peacefulness on yourself, right?
No, that's not peaceful.
Right. Be peaceful already.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I could talk so much more about this. But I'd love to know, in terms of like letting things go and letting this really amazing community come to you, was there a specific turning point for you where you knew you had to let go?
I mean, it's definitely been kind of like years in the making. My background is in physical therapy. So when I graduated college in 2011, I had my degree. I worked in physical therapy for 7 years. I kind of bounced around. I was never really able to settle in a job. I would work for a place for a year and then leave, and 2 years and then leave, because I always just thought like, my happiness was going to be in the next job, right? Oh, I'm going to find the perfect job and then I'm going to be happy. But it's a really challenging profession. I worked with people who are in pain every day. I put my hands on people who are in pain every day. And back then I just didn't have the tools to learn how to kind of like rid myself of that energy. And so, you know, 7 years of that day in and day out, it really pulled me down. And I struggled with a lot of depression, and I struggled with really feeling very lost and unfulfilled. So in 2018, I decided to become a yoga teacher. It was just something that I wanted to do I had a practice for a long time, and it was something that I wanted to dive into more. And the insights that I learned during my training really kind of opened my eyes to a new way of thinking. So the week before I finished yoga teacher training, I actually put my 2 weeks notice in at my job. I had literally no plan. I just knew that there was something better out there for me.
Ooh, so it's like the leap of faith.
It was a leap of faith. Yes. And I've taken many since, but yeah, it was that initial leap of faith. Yes.
Yeah. And then I'm sure as you go, I mean, it's so hard. I always say when somebody says, tell me your story, you're like, where do I start?
Yeah.
Start from childhood or start from a year ago? Start
exactly.
Where do I start? Yeah. There's so much there. Yeah. But I think you touched on something that's really important that I see a lot with career coaching clients and burnout coaching clients, which is I just need to chase like the next thing. Mm-hmm. And when I get to that next thing, everything's going to be better. I'm going to be happy. You said happiness in the next job, right?
Yep.
And many times you're like stuck in a cycle of like, I'm going to get the new job and then it's going to suck. And then I'm going to feel okay for a little while when I get another job. It's just like over and over and over.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm glad to hear that like at some point I'm assuming like in this yoga training, and of course, like you're seeing the pattern in your life, you're thinking, there's something deeper here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there definitely was. And I think what it really came down to was kind of deciding, well, recognizing, you know, that my happiness is nowhere outside of me. My fulfillment is nowhere outside of me. My self-love, my self-worth, my self-respect, all of those things they're not tangible things that you can grab onto. And they're not, you know, wrapped up in a little box sitting on your desk of your next job after you get your promotion or in your relationship or any of those things. Like all of those things are within me, will always be within me. Definitely yoga teacher training helped me see that, and just diving more deeply into, kind of Buddhism and Hinduism and the ideas behind those religions, but just really helped me see that like I hold the key, you know, no one else does, nothing else does. I hold the key.
Absolutely. And starting to untangle all of that from work and productivity. And,
totally.
Well, that's not a huge mess, right?
No, because our identities are so tied to those things. Whether or not we know I have happiness within me, I have all those things, our identities are so wrapped up in our titles and who we are is my job, right? When someone asks, when someone meets you the first time, what do they say? Oh, what do you do? You know, it's not who are you and what do you enjoy, you know? And I think it becomes such a web of all of these things that have created our identity, our ego, and it really takes time to peel all that stuff back to get to who we are at our soul.
Yeah. Yeah, and without all the ego's involvement. And it is hard, I think, with the majority of the world being so focused on productivity and even capitalism without they're never going to say that. People are not like, how much money do you make?
Yeah. But it is tied to that because when they ask you what you do, they're without maybe even without recognizing, they are assigning a level of importance to you, a level of validation to you. We don't know that that's what we're doing. We've just been told that that's a good question to ask, but it is very tied to capitalism. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Hierarchy, social structures. I mean, I immediately think if someone comes back and says, oh, I'm VP of blah, blah, blah versus like, I don't know, I'm a stay at home mom. Like what is and I hate to use that as the example because that's such a, but
it is something that and unfortunately there is, that idea behind a stay-at-home mom, even though like they're working harder.
They work
so freaking hard, and not getting recognized for it. And so, it's a very real thing. Definitely.
Yeah. And it makes me so sad. Even now that I just said that, I'm like, oh, that just makes me so sad. Yeah. Cause they're working so hard and there's I don't know. It is like this, and this is a really deep question, but it's a question I ask a lot, which is like, how do you untangle yourself from this message that is reinforced every single day? And it's hard. It's a really hard thing.
It's really hard and it's really scary. For me, untangling came down to like sitting with myself and really spending time examining who I actually was underneath all of the titles. Not easy. I actually, I didn't think I was going to share this, but I'm very happy to. I actually, at the end of 2018, I fell into a very, very deep depression. I literally would not get out of bed for days on end. I have Champ, my dog, and I've had him for a long time. And my mom would have to come over and walk him and feed him and take care of him because I couldn't. And I would just lay there in silence, listening to my own thoughts. And I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, but it taught me to know myself. And it helped me throw away so many things that I thought I was, and helped me really realize who I actually am.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think,
thank you.
When you're in the darkest of places, when you can find that love for yourself within that's where real healing starts to happen. And that is where untangling really started to happen. And I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, let's go back to the leap of faith. How did you know that there was, because I think this is something people struggle with, that there was something even better out there? How did you trust that?
Yeah, I will say I never actually knew. I couldn't prove it in a court of law. But I will say, this is a hard question to answer because I've had people ask me this before, but I have always been what you would call a multi-passionate person. I call myself a Jill of all trades. And it's really interesting because I used to get so frustrated that I didn't have one single passion. I looked around me and I saw so many friends and so many people really like invested in their thing. I just did air quotes, their thing. but then I went from being frustrated to learning to embrace it, and learning to understand that not everyone's mind work the same way. I tend to get bored easily. And instead of fighting that and staying in one place because I thought I should, I embraced it. And so again, you know, I spent plenty of time in therapy. I spent plenty of time working with my own coach. And after that, I really began to believe that I didn't need to do the things that everyone thought I should do. I began to believe that I was worthy of living a life that was novel and exciting and fed the brain that I have. So I think in order to make that decision, I just had to believe that I was worthy of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really that underlying, it's not that, you know, I love that you say, I didn't actually know.
No, I didn't.
Because no one knows.
It was very scary. It was very, very scary. It was.
Yeah. Yeah. No one actually knows. And you may have belief, right? And you say that it's like, there's just that underlying belief that I'm worth this decision. I'm worthy of this decision. If it doesn't pan out, that's okay because I'm still worthy, which I think is a really, really hard thing for some people to wrap their heads around. Like, it's not a failure. It's just like, that didn't work. That experiment didn't quite go how I thought it would.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you know, even if it is a failure, even if I did fall flat on my face, you know, that's okay because that's part of life. Like we can't completely like wiggle around failures. We can't completely wiggle around rejection. We just have to understand that that's part of the human experience. And again, just embrace it. And, you know, if you fail or if you get rejected or if you fall down, you sit and you reflect and you decide, where do I want to go from here? And then you get up and then you go.
Yeah. You have real life experiences to then, do I pivot? Do I quit? There's a million different things, right? And managing those emotions, which I really think is what people are most afraid of. It's the fear of how crappy it's going to feel if something happens, which it, and it does, and it does feel crappy from experience. It does feel crappy when you feel
Yeah.
it also feels crappy to feel stuck. So it's hard.
Yes. Yeah. You kind of have to, you do have to choose your hard. They say that. And I do definitely hear what you're saying, you know, when people, you know, they struggle with feeling that way. I will take this kind of from the Buddhist mindset, but like to live is to suffer. You know, we don't get to make it through this life without suffering. And if we did, how boring would it be? How bored would we be if every day we woke up and it was all rainbows and sunshine? Like, we didn't come here to just eat ice cream every day and like watch Netflix. Like, we came here for the full range of human emotions, the comfortable, the uncomfortable, the hard ones, the easy ones. We came here for all of that, not just to like be robots, you know?
So true. And I think sometimes we forget that there needs to be the dichotomy in order to really feel both, right? Like you're going to feel a lot of grief, but you may also feel a lot of joy. And I would rather feel both than just be sort of numb to all of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The pendulum has to swing both ways if it's ever going to settle in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. And you know, I love my Buddhist approaches, so I'm glad that you,
me too.
You brought it up. I already have like a future episode coming on like aimlessness. And I'm like,
ooh. Oh, I love it.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Yeah. So next question that I have for you, what do you think most people get wrong about creating their most meaningful work and lives?
I will say, I don't think there is a right or wrong. I try not to live in that space of right or wrong or black or white or any of those things. I do want to answer the question. And I think people, we've touched on this a little bit. I think people get too attached to their identity as one thing. I think people pigeonhole themselves. I think people start to follow one path, and even if it doesn't feel good for them, they think they need to see it through, because especially because that was what the generations before us have always done. That's what we've seen for all of our lives, especially millennials. You know, we saw our parents and our grandparents, you know, work the same job for 40 years. We saw, you know, our parents stay in marriages, even though they weren't the right thing. We saw this pattern over and over again. And then our generation was told, you can do anything if you just work hard enough. And so we are working our asses off because we think that we can do anything if we do. We just have to stick it out, right? We just have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. And I really think that more people would feel lighter and at peace in their lives if they quit more things.
I'm smiling like ear to ear right now because I almost, and I had to Google it and realized it was already the name of another podcast, but I almost named this podcast Quitters Sometimes Win.
I love it. I love it.
Cause I'm like, we do need to quit more things. Like sometimes it does not work out the way that we wanted it to, or started on a path that's just not right anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and if you are into coaching and personal development and learning and continuously trying to apply these learnings, not in like a, I always have to be improving kind of way, but you know, you're just learning more and more about yourself. I think it's just part of life to quit things, but it's so, so hard for us to be okay with that. Like you said, because it's just something that we're not taught to do. It's like, stick it out, just keep going no matter what.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes not. I think it is a shift that a lot of people are making, and I hope that people continue to make. And it's very challenging. And it's very scary, but I think it's a shift that people are making, and people are learning that they can quit, and it has nothing to do with their determination or their resilience or just who they are as a person. You can be really strong and quit things. I think it's wise. I think it's really wise. Not all the time. You know, I'm not telling everyone go quit your job right now, but I think it's wise to be able to sit and like examine and really look at your life and ask yourself, what can I quit to make me feel more at peace?
Yes. And like what no longer fits right now, because
yes,
sometimes we make commitments, you know, and then we think it's a really good decision and then we just do it forever and never question whether it's something we want to be doing anymore. And it's a really, really good question. And most of the time we just keep committing too. It's like,
Over committing.
Right.
Totally. You're like,
now I have 1500 things.
Yeah. But then what happens when we overcommit? We end up under delivering.
Yeah.
Right. Then we can't be our most authentic selves. I don't like to use the word best. Again, I don't like those kind of black or white, best or worst, but I think it, you know, when we overcommit, it keeps us from showing up as our most authentic selves. So I like to remind people, and this goes with the question you just asked, but I like to remind people, undercommit and then you can overdeliver, or undercommit and just deliver the level that you've committed. Like that's totally okay.
Yeah. You don't always have to overdeliver every single time.
No,
yeah.
God, no. Yep.
We're all just humans.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What would you say has been the hardest part of your journey?
To be honest, the hardest part of the journey is feeling alone. I have lost a lot of people, you know, just kind of what I've gone through and and changing my mindset around a lot of things. I lost a lot of people because I decided I wasn't going to please everybody too. I was going to say no, and I've lost people because of that as well. And sometimes I do feel as though, man, if I would have made some different sacrifices, or if I would have stayed put in one place a little bit longer, I would have more relationships than I have now. But ultimately, I know that that is not the way that I was meant to live. I have my connections who really, really get me, and I'm not willing to sacrifice my authenticity and my joy just for a few more people in my circle. But
yes,
it does get lonely.
Yeah, I think you bring up something important. It gets lonely, I think, especially when you don't live like everybody else lives.
Absolutely.
You don't, you put in boundaries, but you also, maybe you're just not interested in certain things that other people are interested in.
And totally.
It's really, really hard. And I feel that too, where it's like, I've gotten pressure, and this is random, but for not buying a house, it's like, well,
you don't
want a house. Like we just don't.
Absolutely.
People are like, you're stupid for not, spending money on rent and blah, blah, blah. Right. And it's like, well, I mean, I get it. Just different values. And
it's
priorities.
Just different. And that's it. You know, again, it kind of just comes from like this pressure of meeting this timeline, right? Like when you get out of high school, go to college, get your degree. When you're done with college, you get married. When you're married, you buy a house, and then you have kids, and like living on this like very rigid timeline.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing those things, but I think it's important to ask ourselves genuinely if we really want to do those things, and then why do I want those things? Right. Digging into the why behind any behavior that's my favorite thing to do as a coach, because I do think a lot of people get stuck in this, like, oh, I want to, you know, launch a podcast or whatever. And it's like, oh, what, you know, why do you want to do that? And they're like, so I can reach more people. Well, why do you want to do that? And then just like digging deeper at, we call it seven layers deep, right? So you ask why seven times, and it helps you get to the root of the behavior. And I think if more people did that, you know, things might change for them. They might make different decisions. And I'm not telling people they have to do that, but it's just a fun little self-examination tool.
It is. Just keep asking yourself why. And you'll usually get to something where you're like, oh no.
Yeah. Some big breakthrough. Yes. But it's powerful. And then you can choose what you do with that information.
Yes. And better to know your why than to just continuously take behaviors that don't necessarily match what you really, really want for your life.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. I'd love to know, what would you say to someone who is really struggling right now?
Well, I've touched on this a little bit already, but the one thing, really one thing I would say, and I say this often, to someone who is struggling, is slow down and spend time with yourself. Turn down the noise, the social media, the books, the TV, the podcasts. No offense, Stacey, but I want people to turn down the noise so they can tune into themselves, so they can learn to hear their intuition. It is scary and it can be painful, and there's a lot of thoughts and beliefs that will come up. But on the other side of it is so much more self-respect and self-awareness, and ultimately so much more peace.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. And there is, I mean, so much noise, so much noise in the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that advice.
Thanks.
Slow down and listen to yourself. Yeah.
Well, we're just inundated with information telling us who to be and what to buy and how to live and all that type of stuff. And it's so, it can be so overwhelming. And so even taking, you know, most of my clients are very ambitious women, and they have a lot of things that they want in their life, and that's okay. But even taking 5 minutes a day, to do that is so powerful. I do not listen to my radio in my car ever. Mm. My driving time is my time to be quiet and to process and, to slow down. So if anybody wants to know, how do I implement this into my daily life? That's one way to do it.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I'm sure it's in books and things I've read, but I'm just thinking to myself how we're not bored anymore, right? Like as soon as we get bored, we're like, where's my phone?
Yeah. Yeah. Who can I text? Yeah. Who can I text?
Even just going to the bathroom, people are like on their phones, yeah. You know, waiting in line, you're on your phone.
Yeah.
Taking these tiny moments. Yeah. Like you said, just
to be bored.
Yeah. To be bored.
And I will say this too, again, this is not why I talk about these things. Because then I kind of think it gets a little bit mixed up, but boredom breeds creativity. Like you want to have some breakthrough and some light bulb moments in your life or for your business or whatever. Be bored, you know, just sit like and stare at the wall for 5 minutes. I'll be honest. Some of my like most, you know, breakthrough ideas that I've done in my business are because I let myself sit. I stopped searching for the answer and I found it within me.
Yes. Yeah. It's why I always say, well, there's two things I think that happens on airplanes, like during travel, which is you have this creativity. The other thing I wish I had like the study to cite, but I read it somewhere, is that people cry more on airplanes.
Oh, well, I get
because
that.
They're stuck in place and they don't have anything to distract them.
Yes. Yes. No distractions. Yes. And, but think about that for a second, because like, don't we think our brains deserve that much to be able to process emotions and what we go through every single day instead of just piling more and more and more and more on top of it? Like crying is a powerful emotional release and it gets rid of stuff out of your body. It helps you get rid of trauma. It helps you get rid of stress. But because we don't give ourselves the space to do it, we're literally like full up to the top of our head with things. That reminds me of a quote I've shared with a few of my clients, and you know, that idea, the quote, like you can't pour from an empty cup, like make sure you fill yourself up before you serve others. I've turned it on its head and it's like, well, no, like your cup is already so full, but it's full of the wrong things. So before you're going to fill your cup up again, empty it of the stuff that isn't serving you. Yes. And that doesn't just include physical, actual things. That includes those emotions that are stuck in you from your bad breakup or from not getting the job that you interviewed for, launching a group coaching program and it totally fails. Like, we got to empty ourselves of those things.
Yeah. It's so important to process those emotions, but it's as we get back to like the distractions, it's so easy to keep yourself distracted and from doing it. Yeah. Oh, so much goodness in this conversation. What would you say has been the best part of your something even better?
The best part of my Something Even Better, which is my group coaching, is the genuine connections I've built. I have met women from all over the country with my group, women I never knew existed. And I have built some really, really beautiful friendships, all out of staying true to myself. As someone who already said, I do feel alone sometimes, it makes my heart really, really happy to have the women that I have in my corner.
I love that. And it's so important. And I don't think we talk about it enough. Like, the connection piece of coaching is deeper than just like, oh, I just have group coaching. Loneliness is an actual epidemic.
Totally.
It's just so important that we have these connections that we can make. And I just love that. Well, it's time to wrap up. So I'm going to choose a question, and I'm trying to think of which one I really want to, I think I know which one I'm going to choose.
Okay.
If you had to choose, and I'm putting you on the spot here,
let's go for it.
One favorite book to recommend to the listeners, what would it be and why?
It would be a book called Do Nothing by Celeste Headlee. It literally changed my life. She talks about a lot of the stuff that we talked about today. She talks about how inundated we are with information. You know, she talks about kind of, you know, the being on our phones all the time and always, you know, always going above and beyond at work. And she does talk about productivity and things like that in there too. And it just really helped me see, that I was kind of like running this race that I didn't even know the direction it was going in. She talks about, I love this concept. She actually talks about leaning out. We always hear the idea like lean into the discomfort, lean into the, you know, the challenges and, you know, in terms of like being okay with quitting and opening your life up to something new. I think it's important to lean out sometimes.
Yes. I love that too. And I love that book. And I, for the one thing that I love the most, and it's very weird that this is what I like the most out of this book, but was like the description of work, like in the past, in our history,
because
we tend to think like people worked a lot harder back in the day, but in the descriptions, that's not necessarily true, which was so like mind opening to me, where I was like, oh, huh. Before the Industrial Revolution, yes, people worked hard and there was a lot of manual labor to, you know, do what they needed to do, but in many ways they rested and celebrated way better than we do now. Just super interesting.
Well, they had boundaries, and the boundaries that were forced upon them were sunrise and sunset. So in the winter, you only worked for 6 hours or, you know, however much time. And so, we don't have boundaries now. We, especially with kind of like the work from home, all of this, like moving in, it's so easy to check your email all the freaking time. And we don't have those boundaries, but we're allowed to, like, there's nothing wrong with having and enforcing boundaries. I mean, it's imperative. But yeah, I think for me, at least, I think it really comes down to setting the boundaries.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I could go on and on about this, because I'm like, oh, we fought to have 40 hour work weeks. And now we're just like, walk all over me and email me anytime.
Yes. Seriously. I'm going to go have my appendix taken out, but I got you. You can text me. It's fine. Yes,
it's not okay. Well, thank you again so, so much for coming on. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I'd love to know, where should people find you online, social media, wherever you want them to go?
Social media. I'm forever in the process of building my website. But so Instagram is the best place to find me. It's my first name and last name, Katie Rabcook. I've got some new and really fun things happening in the new year. I am personally all about challenging the status quo, especially in coaching. So people can expect me to continue to do that in the new year. I've got a workshop coming up that's all about smashing the idea of goal setting. And I have a new group designed to help participants move away from hustle mentality and learn to slow the hell down.
It's so good, y'all.
She knows. She's helping
me with it. It's amazing. I'm really, really excited for it. But anyway, thank you so much, Katie. I will put links in the show notes so people can find you and follow you. And yeah, she has the most amazing posts. So you definitely want to get over there and follow her. But
thank you
again so much. And yeah, hopefully maybe someday we'll have you back on.
Oh, definitely. Happy to be here. Thank you, Stacey.
Of course.
If you love this podcast, why not share it with your friends, your family, your favorite social media profile, literally everyone you know. And take a minute to give me a review wherever you listen. I love reading the reviews, and sharing is always caring.